And we're back out at the Light Sports Mall in front of the Affordable Flying Center, the new Affordable Flying Center, J-Mont J. And sitting with me now, I have John Stickle, and John is with S-Wing USA. Tell us a little bit about the Swing airplane. It's one of the many light sport airplanes that are out here in the Light Sport Mall. And just describe it for our listeners.
Well, the Swing is a tech-built aircraft like many in the light sport category. It's a high-wing aircraft, utilizes the 912 100-horsepower Rotex. Cruise is typically 100 miles per hour, top speed of 132. And at that 100 miles an hour, 75% power, we're experiencing a 4-gallon fuel burn. A very docile airplane. It's good for the beginner. Very similar flight characteristics to a Cessna 152. And it's been a good transition for the GA pilots due to the fact that we have a yoke rather than a stick.
Oh, I see. So just like a Cessna, then, it's equipped just basically like with a yoke like a Cessna or a Piper would.
Yep.
All right. How about endurance? How many hours will it fly on a tank of fuel?
We have a 16-gallon tank, 13.2 usable, which gives a 300-mile range.
300 miles, okay. And I would imagine that it cruises right at, in comparison with the other light sports, right around 115 knots or so?
We're actually cruising about 89 knots. It's a little slower than the others. However, our price point is at 89.9 ready to fly.
Okay, so it's competing with a different segment than the other guys we've been talking to here today.
Right.
Yeah. A different price segment and also a different performance segment. But any special features about your airplane that the listeners might like to know?
Well, again, we have the yoke. Another thing that that we market along with the aircraft as standard equipment, we utilize the microair system, the full-featured 760-COM radio, as well as the mode feed transponder.
I see. And this is a tube and fabric airplane, is it?
No, this is a composite aircraft. There is Seconite covering only on the surfaces of the wings. Any control surfaces and the leading edge are also composite.
Okay. And it says here something you have some specially made windshields. What does that entail?
The windscreen on our aircraft is Perspex 3-millimeter glass. Using that extra thickness really quiets it down nice inside. In fact, in Europe, our manufacturer does not use a radio in their flying situation, and they're able to carry on a conversation in the cockpit while flying at full power.
I see. Well, I sure appreciate you stopping by and talking to us, John. It's been our pleasure having you, and it's neat to see your airplane here in the Light Sport Mall.
Well, thank you for your time. We'll see you at Oshkosh next year.
Thank you very much. And we have one other company here that we want to speak with. And this is Jim Lee with Urban Air USA. And, Jim, good afternoon.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your Lombada. I saw a write-up on the airplane just recently in one of the trade publications, and it sounds like a really neat, fantastic new SLSA glider and sport cruiser.
Well, you're right. It's a unique aircraft in that it is a light sport glider. It gets a 30-to-1 glide ratio and a sink rate of 180 feet per minute, and it's a 700-pound aircraft, so it soars very, very well. The engine-off performance is comparable with a lot of other gliders out there. If regular unpowered sailplanes can stay up and lift, we can stay up in the Lombada 2 just because it's so light. It's a 700-pound airplane. But it's also fully capable of powered flight and does a real nice job just with the engine running, taking us from one place to another. It's got a good cruise speed in excess of 100 knots, and it's just a wonderful airplane to go cross-country in as well.
Looks like we're going to... Boy, those intruders are loud.
I couldn't hear a thing that was going on right then. I guess that was a Harrier, huh?
I think those were intruders, a pair of intruders. Pair of intruders taking off there.
Uh-huh.
So as we were saying, yeah, the airplane's sitting in front of us here, and it looks a lot, well, and of course it's a composite design, right?
Yeah, it's all composite. It has a carbon Kevlar cockpit, carbon wing spars, and the rest is a fiberglass foam sandwich, so it's all composite. It's built by a lot of the same guys that used to work for the Schimpf here at Sailplane Factory.
Oh, yeah.
So they really know what they're doing as far as high-quality fiberglass work, and the wing contours profile is all as good as it can get. So it's really a top-quality aircraft built in the Czech Republic by craftsmen that really take a lot of pride in their work.
And what type of engine is in the front of that airplane?
Like most of the other light sport planes, we're using the Rotax 912, the 80 horsepower, and the 912S, the 100 horsepower. And because our plane's so light, again, 700 pounds, but with those 15-meter-long wingspan and the enormous lifting capability, we're climbing at 1,000 feet a minute with two people and fuel with the 80 horse, and we're climbing at 1,400 feet per minute with the 100 horse engine. So it's a little rocket ship.
Yeah, it's a neat airplane.
It's a great plane. I've got several hundred hours in it, and my admiration for it continues to grow. I've had some real long flights in them. I've delivered them down to Guadalajara, Mexico, out to San Francisco. Last week, I flew up to an air show at Essex County Airport in Newark, New Jersey, and did it unrefueled, did 950 nautical miles on 24 gallons of fuel. So it's possibly the most fuel-efficient production aircraft in the world today.
Wow, what kind of cruise speed would that be?
That's right around 100 knots, 100 to 105 knot cruise speed.
Wow.
So we're on par, you know, cruise speeds with the majority of the light sport aircraft. And but in addition, we're also a glider. So a fella's kind of buying two aircraft for the price of one when he goes for a Lambada.
Very, very cool. Well, and where can people find you?
We're down in Melbourne, Florida, right next to Cape Canaveral on the Atlantic Ocean. We import the aircraft into there, into our facility, and assemble them and get them certified, get the airworthiness certificate. And from there, we either train the customer at that location or we fly the plane to the customer or to one of our dealers, just depending on how the customer wants to do it. But we're also providing flight training for people that want to learn how to fly gliders or a glider pilot that wants to get his self-launch endorsement. Anything along those lines. So you don't have to be an owner, a Lambada owner, to come fly with us in Melbourne. We'll accept anybody that wants to come down and either check out the Lambada or take some lessons in it.
All right, sounds good. And you're at www.urbanairusa.com.
That's exactly right. And we've had a lot of interesting people flying our planes. Currently, my 14-year-old daughter is close to solo, and again, because it is a certified glider, even though it's got an engine on it, my daughter can solo in it right now at age 14.
Oh, very neat. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, Jim, thanks for talking to us today on EAA Radio.
My pleasure. Glad to be here. My first time here in Oshkosh, and I'm blown away. It's extraordinary.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jay Montgomery, EA Radio, just a few closing words before we go to showcase here. I have Earl Downs with us, and I was just going to, before we break away to the showcase, Earl, I just wanted to ask you your perspective as someone very involved in light sport, what your perception is of the last 2 years since the rule.
Light sport's been an exciting adventure for everybody, certainly everybody that's in EAA, because EAA was so responsible on bringing it to life. I've watched it grow before it was actually a regulation, became a regulation in September 2004, and now as the few years have passed, it's continued to mature, and it has a lot more maturing to do. That's one of the reasons I'm here, and that is to write an article about the use of light sport aircraft for EAA publications.
And which publications are those?
EAA has two publications, and I have to reminisce for just a moment because I joined EAA in 1958 at 17 years old when I looked forward to receiving my monthly newsletter. And now, 50 years later, not only do I continue to receive the publications, but I'm writing for them. Never would have expected that. EAA's publications, of course, are Sport Aviation and Sport Pilot Light Sport Aircraft. And because I'm a light sport guy, that's primarily the publication that I write for.
I see. And before we wrap up here real quick and go out to the showcase, what's your perception of light sport over the last 2 years?
A lot of growth, new things coming in, tremendous opportunities, not only for the person looking for an airplane, selling an airplane, but also for the flight schools and for the ability now of a flight school to offer more than just the standard training program.
Jamon G signing off for AirVenture InFlight for Oshkosh 2008. We'll see you back in 2009.